By 2100 BC, the dominant family on the island, which ruled from the city of Knossos on the northern shore of Crete, had united the island. What is remarkable about the cities of Minoan Crete is there are no walls, there's no fortifications, and that seems to indicate that the kings who united the island of Crete and also the various islands of the Aegean, the so-called Cyclades, and they are now known to have had some trading posts on the shores of Asia Minor, that they must have controlled the seas, they must have had uncontested control because they didn't need walls. Between 2100 and 1600 BC, the Minoans develop a brilliant commercial network. They are probably pioneering the marketing strategy. Don't sell what the customer wants, sell what you have. They exported vast amounts of perfumed oil, beautiful ceramic vases. The paintings of on the vases are marvelous. Usually in art history textbooks, you look at the naturalistic octopus or the fish that are depicted. In the excavations of Knossos, conducted by Sir Arthur Evans, there are a number of frescoes. These are extremely imaginative in their reconstruction, one might say even fanciful in the opinion of many scholars. Nonetheless, if they're anything remotely like what the frescoes were, they show a remarkably naturalistic style in which the artist painted wet frescoes. Above all, these Minoan or Cretan merchants showed up in Egypt. They're referred to in Egyptian sources as the Keftiu, a mysterious people on the fringe of Egyptian civilization, but nonetheless engaged in importing raw materials from the Near East, metals, timber, various types of textiles, and turning out beautifully finished goods in the form of jewelry, the ceramics, using the numerous wild flowers of the Greek world with olive oil to create perfumed oil. And you might wonder, well, what's the big deal about perfumed oil? Well, in sacrificial rites where you're cutting up animals everywhere, it's good to have this stuff to dump on the altars to eliminate the smell and keep the insects down and the like. And also, it was a way of cleaning oneself. One cleansed himself with oil, which you use as an emulsifying agent. And you can see that in Greek statues in the classical age, where athletes are always scraping themselves down. Oil is also a fuel. It's also for cooking. And so the Greeks, these early Minoans, they're not Greek speakers, capitalized on that market. Knossos was apparently sacked in 1400 BC by our best dating. The palace was destroyed, and that has led to a great deal of speculation. There have been efforts to connect this with a volcanic eruption in the Aegean island on the island of Santorini, Thera, but there really seems to be no connection. That was an eruption 150 years earlier, according to geological determination. It did give rise to the memories of the legend of Theseus and Ariadne. But what was important about these Minoans, these earliest people in the Aegean, is they set many of the basic patterns of Aegean civilization. From what we can tell, the early form of the Greek gods are already there. There is the famous snake goddess. There are numerous symbols of the double axe, which is later identified with Zeus, and the word labyrinth, which was associated with Minos and King and Theseus in the legend. Labyrinthos, or labyrinth, apparently means house of the double axe, apparently house of this early form of Zeus. Well, the best guess is, and it certainly is my opinion, that the palace at Knossos was sacked and destroyed by invaders. And these invaders are the earliest Greek speakers, people from the mainland of Greece, who then took over the Minoan trading network. Now, these early Greek speakers had arrived in the Greek peninsula probably around 1900 BC. They seem to have been gradually moving down from the Balkans, and one of the avenues may have been through what is now northwest Greece, near the border of Albania. They crossed the so-called Gulf of Corinth, which separates central Greece from the Peloponnesus, that is the Isle of Pelops, a mythical king who ruled over this southern portion, the three-pronged peninsula, which is such an important area for Greek civilization. These earliest Greek speakers adopted many of the aesthetics and material culture of the Minoans. And by 1600 BC, at least 12 or 15 kingdoms seemed to be discernible in the written records and in the archaeological evidence. These kingdoms were centered in central and southern Greece. There was one in Athens on the Acropolis, one near the later classical city of Sparta, and particularly one at Mycenae, a city that is remembered in the legends, particularly the Iliad, where Agamemnon is king of Mycenae, lord of all the Greeks, lord of the Achaeans, as they're called by Homer. These Greeks were quite different from the Minoans. All indication is that they were a warrior elite. They, by 1600 BC, constructed fortified citadels, quite small. Usually, you can walk across a Mycenaean citadel in about 2 or 3 minutes. It's essentially nothing more than a fortified palace with rooms for specialized servants and weaving and the like.